Test. My outs.
You don't have an indoor voice.
Outdoor voice?
Outdoor voice would be something like yelling, screaming, general mayhem, and...
Welcome to episode 130 of Uncorked Gamers. This is, I believe, week four of the Jeff Watch. Week four of Jeff Watch. He's still... has not been found. If anybody has seen him, probably family or new friends, please let us know. You can contact us, uncorkgamers@gmail.com. Let us know where the Jeff is and how the Jeff is. You can also tweet at us at uncorkgamers with the hashtag where's Jeff.
Also, Jeff, if you don't show up soon, what am I going to do with your D&D character?
That's right, if you are one of Jeff's new friends, he did play Dungeons & Dragons for like a year.
He is totally that type of nerd.
So feel free to ridicule him back into our loving arms. Moving on, Rhyme has a release date. We all remember Rhyme from being that game that was shown off to be a PlayStation exclusive.
Like 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago. Looked really nice, people were comparing it to Wind Waker.
I was super excited about it.
Then the developer, Sony, pulled out for some reason. I think developer Tequila Works? Yeah. Tequila Works, Sony pulled it out. This is a developer from Spain. Apparently there was a lot of concern about whether the team would actually be able to pull it off. And there was a lot of like delays and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember there was kind of a bit of a fiasco with all that stuff that went on. They didn't really talk a lot about details, though.
Yeah. So, the game is coming out. It's coming out for Yay! PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC now.
Oh.
And it's going to be coming out Yay? May 26th.
Ooh.
It's going to be launching this year. It's going to cost $29.99.
Okay.
And on the Switch, it'll cost $39.99. No reason has been given as to why it costs more on the Switch.
No, here's the reason. All Nintendo games must cost $40.
At least $40, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at most, like, a lot of Nintendo games...
No, there's a lot of indies on there now.
Though. That's true, they are pushing indies.
And this is technically an indie game.
But it's a foreign indie, so maybe they bump it up.
Why wouldn't they bump it up for everybody else? What's the point? That doesn't make sense. Because if you're going to bump it, if it's going to be $39.99, put it $39.99 everywhere, get the extra $10 from everybody.
That's true. I don't know, this seems weird. Is the game still looks about the same, or have they...
Yeah, I mean, it definitely looks more puzzle-oriented than it did in the original demo.
That makes me more excited, because the original demo was... You saw, like, a boy wandering across a world, not doing much. And it looked beautiful, but there really wasn't much game to it. So I'm actually excited there's puzzles in it.
Yeah.
I love puzzle games.
Yeah, a little too much.
Not too much?
Like, almost exclusively only plays puzzle games.
Not quite. Almost, not quite.
Gran Turismo Sport is getting a beta, even though there was some concern whether or not the game's development was going well. Let's see here. The beta's going to start next week. I think it might have already started. I think it started this week. And it's being... sent out to a selected member of the PlayStation community. So, if you got a... you would get a message in your PlayStation inbox saying that you were in the beta. This is a completely closed-off beta. It seems like there was no beta sign-up, so it's just like they literally just picked random people on the PlayStation Network.
It reminds me, I don't know if I've ever checked my PlayStation inbox.
So, yeah, actually, the beta's gonna start on the 17th. 17th of March. And, oh, there was a register. There's a place you can register for North America. My bad. Apparently, the beta's gonna have, like, a... it's like... I can't remember if it's different weeks or different days. I can't remember how often they were changing around. But they're gonna be changing around, so you're gonna have, like, a different selection of cars. You're gonna have a certain selection of cars for a certain period of time.
Okay, so they want you to focus on certain bits of the game at a time. They're not just saying here's everything we have. They're saying, all right, we want you to focus test these cars on these tracks and things like that.
Essentially, yeah.
That's it. That seems like a pretty logical way to do it, especially for a game that has so many options. Like, but I don't know. I don't play racer games much to my youngest brother's annoyance, since he plays pretty much exclusively racer games.
Well, he plays cartoony racer.
Yeah, he plays cartoony racer. Yeah.
Gran Turismo is a very realistic racer.
Oh, good news! His PlayStation 1 does have the toggles.
Analogs?
Yeah, analog sticks. I don't know, they're toggle sticks.
Nope. No, they're not. They are analog sticks.
They're sticks.
I'm not going back to a day and age where people call controllers remotes. It's not happening.
Yeah.
There are controllers, analog sticks, D-pad, and buttons. Triggers are still out, whether you want to call them bumpers and triggers. I prefer L1, R1.
The triggers are the big ones. They're the triggers, and the other two are bumpers.
Damn it. Damn you, Xbox!
Nah. I don't really... Like, I don't know. They're sticks. They're toggles. They're the head movement buttons.
A toggle's like a light switch.
Not necessarily.
It doesn't give you free range of motion.
No.
That's why it's an analog. It does things analogs. Yeah.
Anyways, his PlayStation 1 works. He has a basketball game.
NBA Jam?
I don't know. He spent $3 on the game, so...
Does he like it?
Yeah, he likes it.
Yeah. You gotta give him some credit.
He has, like, a hockey game or something.
Is it Rock the Rink? Because Rock the Rink is awesome. Best sports game I ever played on the original PlayStation.
I'll have to ask him.
Probably not Rock the Rink.
He really, really wants racer games. So, nope. I told him to go look at Level Up.
See if we find a copy of Ridge Racer.
Crash Team Racing for him.
Crash Team Racing would be amazing.
Yeah.
Motor Team Grand Prix wasn't that bad, if I recall correctly. But that's kind of more of an obscure one. Wipeout. Oh, if you could find like any of the original Wipeout games.
That'd be a good idea.
So good. Jet Moto is also really fun. A little bit loose on the controls where you're jet ski racing.
Jet ski games are usually pretty fun.
And, like, the only
racer game I really played for any more than like an hour was Lego Racers, which I now understand was literally a Mario Kart ripoff, but you got to build your cars out of Legos. That was pretty much the only selling point, is you got to build your own cars out of Legos. It didn't really affect the speed or handling at all.
So once the internet got its hands on it, I'm sure there was some interesting cars, like a white supremacist car.
No, that was just you in a different game.
Careful. It's a very heated debate these days.
That was you and Charlie being bored and playing, was it Mod Nation Racers? Like, that was ridiculous.
There may or may not have been some alcohol involved.
At that point, I don't know.
We may or may not have started harassing somebody that made themselves look like they were Shaft.
Anyways. Back to the news.
I just want to iterate, me and Charlie do not hold any agenda with white supremacy. We just wanted to see how far their censorship things would let us get to. Apparently, we did not get flagged. I have not heard from Charlie ever since that point saying that his account got flagged for any reason. So, you know, they were very open to people being able to express their creativity in any means possible. We spent like 2 hours building that thing.
I know. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, we should hang out with him again.
Yeah, as soon as he can get out of his house.
Oh, dear. We'll just hook up a zip line from his house to the freeway.
Quake Champions, which was recently announced at the Bethesda press conference, I think last E3. That game's gonna go free to play.
Huh.
Which actually, for a game like Quake, seems like the smart move. Because you saw a little bit of, was it Quake? I think it was... No, it wasn't Quake. It was, you've seen that style of game over at our friend's house.
To be honest, I'm not separating Quake from the other games in my head right now.
The quick, fast, twitchy shooters from, like, the 90s?
Yes, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Not the games I ever touched.
No, but you can see
how... Yeah, no, yeah.
Taking that model of game and making it free-to-play.
That could be interesting.
It makes sense in my head.
It kind of does.
Because you kind of want that... Because the games kind of have always been kind of the drop in and out type of game. Yeah,
you'll have your dedicated fan base that's willing to pay a little extra to have, you know, the perfect
and of course,
character skin and the perfect
They have packs and stuff like that you can buy.
That seems like a good idea for that. I'm a little surprised that Bethesda is doing that, though. They don't seem to like to give stuff away for free. Ever.
Yeah.
But...
Ranger is selectable by anyone, while those who purchase a champion pack for a fixed price can pick any character in the game.
Oh, okay, so you get one free character as like a demo type thing, and then you can buy other characters.
Seems like that might be what they're going with.
That's actually a pretty good selling point, like a good marketing scheme.
So yeah, it seems like the only thing that's behind the paywall really is the characters. Hmm. All the levels and maps are free to play, so you won't have to worry about splitting the player base.
Yeah, so, but you can also figure out whether or not you like the game before you buy it.
Or before you buy a character skin.
Well, yeah, before you buy a character skin. Or, because you said character class, so it might be a character that handle things differently.
No, that's not how those games work. It's just a skin, really.
Oh, okay. It has no RPG elements?
No. I mean, not unless they introduce some, but typically those games aren't built that way.
Mm. Okay.
Naughty Dog's co-president is leaving. Christoph Balestra has recently announced his departure from the studio, leaving Evan Wells as the sole president of Naughty Dogs.
They had two presidents?
Yeah.
Huh.
Christoph will be leaving his position April 3rd. He's been with the company for 15 years.
Are they citing a reason, or... Other than...
He says he's leaving to pursue fulfilling personal ambitions and projects.
Indie studio.
Sounds like it.
He's gonna move to Montreal and start an indie studio, and they're going to make a... You know, not Nathan Drake game. Isn't that how it works?
Right. It's interesting. I mean, it'll be interesting to see.
He did wait until like the last Uncharted game was out, and
yeah,
it's a decent point to leave.
It seems like that's been kind of like the consensus. Like, all right, Uncharted, the direction we were going with Uncharted is over. Alright, guys, I'm out. Yeah, I feel like there's been a couple people that are kind of like, alright.
Yeah, stuck through the projects, but then, you know, decided to go on to something else. What? You just looked at the computer and rolled your eyes.
I always do that.
Okay.
So Destiny's getting one final huge update.
Oh dear.
It's, let me see what it's called. It's going to come out March 28th, so pretty much near the end of the month. It's called The Age of Triumph.
Basically, is that what that's about?
What this update is basically taking all the raids and making them endgame raids. So giving you the option to play all of them as endgame raids with endgame loot. So if you really like the way the Vault of Glass gear look, you can get your level... What level are they at now?
40. 40. Level 40, like, light level. To be honest, levels and light levels are pretty much irrelevant.
Especially
because if you play the level at the light level suggested, it's no longer hard because you're at the light level. And it's just, like, leveling is pointless when the levels level with you. Like,
Who's going there under the light level?
You can, but then you can't kill anything.
Depends on how much under the light level you are.
That's true.
But, so people that... I mean, this is great for people that just started and get to experience all the raids at the raid difficulty.
Or the
It gives you more options for getting raid level gear.
I would love to do that, because I'm still holding on to year one, you know, vanilla style, you know, vanilla raid gear that I can't do anything with because it's way underpowered and it doesn't really serve a purpose, but I'm still holding on to it because I like having complete sets. What they should give us is, you know, unlimited inventory space and less, you know, sparrow horns. That's the weirdest thing they've given us. Sparrow horns.
I mean, the only thing that's not clear about this is whether or not you need to have the last DLC to be able to experience the higher end raids.
I could see where you might, but at the same time, like, I don't have the last DLC, and the loot that drops for me is the light level of the last DLC anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Now, I heard that they were thinking about tweaking a bunch of the raids.
Yeah, like, they're adding, like, challenges.
I'm fine with this as long as they don't change the actual, like, if you have an option to play the raid as of the original raid, that's okay.
I don't think it's the new light level, but, so.
But, like, if they're changing it so that
it doesn't seem like
you can no longer play the original raid, I'd be really upset.
I'm not too sure about that. It doesn't seem like they're changing anything too fundamental. It sounds like they're fixing issues. Yeah. So for instance, in Vaults of Glass, they said the oracles would kind of take a long time.
Yeah, that's the point.
You kind of, you lose like 20 minutes per wipe.
That's the point. So it's a challenge. It up a little bit.
I mean, it was an artificial challenge most of the time because the oracles would take like 10 seconds to show up and you're just standing there waiting for one to shoot.
Maybe, but to be honest, the timing changes depending on people's connection speed.
Not that much.
Not by too much, but
I mean, it's it would take a while. Though, it was a time where people kind of get up and go to the bathroom.
It's still unknown whether or not. Yeah, get a sandwich. That was the best part. You get to the jumping puzzles and you just go make a sandwich. Come back. They still haven't made it across. That was funny.
So, I mean, like, they were talking about, like, they had some ideas of changing the raids in certain ways, but they realized that would change the feel of the raid.
Mm.
And, like, the jumping part is one of them, because people would skip the disappearing platforms and just jump straight off the edge to the other side.
You can do that, but not every class can do that.
Pretty much, at this point, every class can do
that. Yeah, at this point.
But they were thinking of changing that, and they decided, like, no, that's kind of would ruin the fun of it, of the raid, so they're leaving that the same.
Okay.
So that's kind of like the approach you're taking with it.
Now, supposedly, nobody knows for sure how many chests there actually are in the Vault of Glass.
Only the person that created the raid in the first place knows how many.
Have they said they've all been found?
No, because nobody knows. Only the guy who created
it. Has that person said they've all been
found? Then people wouldn't be looking for them while they were trying to rebuild.
Because I have searched that place inside out.
Well, some of them are timed, remember?
That's right. I mean, I found all sorts of random stuff in there. You can get all over the place. I feel like that is the most open of the raids.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, it's my favorite because it has that. No matter how many times I go down there, it still has that exploration feel. The other raids are very much, you're limited. You're within a certain boundary and you don't get to actually explore.
Yeah. I guess that's true. PlayStation Now is adding PS4 games to its streaming service.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of explains why they took it off of PlayStation 3 and PlayStation TV. If they were going to be adding PlayStation 4 games. Because
you can't play those on there.
Presumably, you technically would be able to, because all it does is...
Oh, yeah.
Your system is just streaming it, like true. Netflix.
That's true.
But why would you buy a PlayStation 4 if you just stream PS4 games?
Hmm. I still think picking up a PlayStation TV might be a good idea. Yeah. I could play Vita games on the TV.
You know what might be a good idea?
Playing Fez.
It's picking up a Nintendo Switch. Did you know they've sold, reportedly, over about 1.5 million Nintendo Switches already?
Do they come in purple?
No.
Not buying it.
But what if I told you that somebody's already hacked the Nintendo Switch?
Totally buying it now.
Right? Totally worth it now.
This is like what you've been waiting for.
I just can't believe it happened so fast. This happened.
Wait, have they like have the they hacked week. The 3DS yet?
Oh, the 3DS. The new, you just buy a card.
Sorry, the new Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, you just buy a card. You just pop it in.
Okay.
You want to know how the hack happened?
Somebody accidentally tried to download something highly illegal?
Nope. So, Nintendo Switch doesn't have an internet provider, right? It doesn't have an ISP. You can't surf the net on your Nintendo Switch. But it does...
That seems really weird.
It's Nintendo. It'll come. It'll come eventually.
It's the 3DS has a web browser.
It does.
It doesn't work, but it has it.
So, but it does have access to the web for, like, when you need to link your account to your Facebook.
Yeah, or the store or something.
And, it uses a webkit, an iOS webkit, 9.7.3, I believe, is what the number was on the webkit, which was, notoriously faulty. Apple patched that very quickly. But for some reason, Nintendo Switch did not come with a patched version of the webkit.
Oh no, so as long as you don't update it, you can hack it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems the hack, obviously, it's something that just recently happened, so the hacks are still rudimentary. But the fact of the matter is, they're in. They know how to do it now.
So here's the more important question. What is the Switch powerful enough to run?
That we would want to run.
Okay, fine, GameCube. But like, what? Like, cause
it's all I need. GameCube and I guess the Wii. I mean, all
right. What was the best game on GameCube? Because I've never played a GameCube. I don't know what was on there.
I'm sure there was a lot of great games on GameCube. Out of the ones I've played, obviously there was the Mario Kart on GameCube.
Okay, so the Mario Karts were good.
There was Smash Bros. Melee, like the Smash Bros. Game. Phantasy Star Online 1 and 2, which is one of my personal enjoyments of that console.
Okay.
Resident Evil 4 debuted and was a timed exclusive to the GameCube. Wow.
See, I don't think
Wind Waker was a GameCube game as well. Yeah. As
I don't think of like the Wii and the Wii U as these consoles that things really come out to for the most part.
I mean,
Those are the two I'm most familiar with.
GameCube was pretty much the last one that really,
you know, GameCube seems like it really was a really seriously was a competitor for the other consoles.
Mm-hmm. It was the best graphic. It was the best graphics at the time too.
I like the fact that
it was actually more
actually
powerful.
A cube. It's called the GameCube, and it's a cube.
And it comes with a little carrying case.
That
carrying attachment.
That was awesome. I've seen them at thrift stores before. I will pick one up. But like, I just love the fact it literally was what it was named. It was a GameCube. Like, to me, that is perfect.
Yeah, but, yeah. At the first party, it was like Pikmin. Yeah, Animal Crossing was a big one on there.
Wow, Animal Crossing's that old?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just playing whatever one's on the DS.
Yeah. You're not even playing like Animal Crossing. You're playing Animal like.
No, I have the other Animal. I have Animal Crossing.
That's right.
Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Yeah.
No, the Happy Home Designer is better than New Leaf.
Ooh, shots fired.
Because
Adam Wonderly come over here and slap you.
Because you don't have to buy buildings for your citizens. Like, you don't have to pay out of your own pocket for the residents of your town to have a fountain. Like, I'm sorry, but the job of a mayor is not to buy junk for people. That is not what a mayor does. I think the next Animal Crossing game should have actual, like, things mayors do, like giving talks at schools and sitting through board meetings and all of that. Unfortunately, the game company that should be making a game like that doesn't make games like that anymore. Maxis.
Well, yeah, that's because they're owned by EA.
I know.
And that's because I think it's Firaxis now.
What?
I'm not sure if Maxis technically exists.
It's Maxis Arts.
Are they the ones that have been putting out Civilization?
No, Civilization is...
Was Maxis
Civilization is Sid Meier.
Yeah. Was Maxis tied to
SimCity? No, Maxis was the Sim games, like all the Sim games up until EA bought them.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, in the new SimCity, did it say Maxis or did it say Firaxis?
I haven't played the newest one. SimCity 4 does still say Maxis on the front. And I think that's after EA bought them. I still think the best Sim game was Sim Ant. You got to play as an ant.
Or you wrong!
Oh, totally no.
Jurassic Park, Dino Park Builder game. Doesn't matter which one.
Sim, you mean...
No, I'm talking about the ones where you have to go and spend money investigating, finding fossils.
Well, that's not a sim game.
Yeah, you still have to make a park. I'm not saying it's a sim. Oh. It's a simulation game.
There you go. There you go. On my Steam list, I have sim games and I have simulation games. Two separate categories. Because you have like Sim City, Sim Tower, Sim City 2000, Sim City 3000, Sim City 4. What should be called Sim City 5 needs to go on the list soon.
So if you are a player that's been enjoying The Division, and it seems like with each update that game seems to add more and more stuff that's more compelling.
From that game for a while.
All year 2 content is free.
Interesting.
This harkens back to Ubisoft remarking in previously, and they've been showing this more and more with more and more of their games that are currently out, is that they want to step away from paid DLC.
Oh. So they go to, you buy the game, and then you just get free DLC, and you can buy extras? Is that, like, buying, like, skins, mods, packs? Well, skins and mods
are DLC.
Oh, I guess. That's interesting.
I mean, we'll see how this plays out, whether or not they'll have, like, story packs.
Yeah, the thing is, will this lower the quality of the DLC?
That's the question. Does it mean that we're not going to get story DLC?
Mm.
Will that not be called DLC? Will that be called like a story pack or something like that? But, I mean, as far as skins and like guns and stuff like that, probably it's going to be mostly that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Free is free. Nobody has a problem with that.
Is Ubisoft the studio behind Valiant Hearts?
I believe they were involved. Not sure how directly involved. It's part of like
Ubisoft. Indie. Give me the final chapter
for free.
I will pay up to $2 for the final chapter.
Wow, really? It's like a $5. Each story chapter is about $5 for most games.
They said it was done and released it when it is missing chapter 5. Everybody knows it's missing chapter 5.
I'm sure somebody did.
But they claimed it's done. You can figure out
how it ended. It was too sad. Too sad for the peoples.
Like we know how World War I ended. But good game.
So, Shadow of War. We both saw the trailer. As a person that's 2 trophies away from getting the platinum in the original Shadow of Mordor, how do you feel about the trailer? Go ahead, break it down.
Okay. First, the thing I didn't like. If the UI works, don't change it.
They really didn't change much.
It doesn't look as sleek. It looks more like a shooty game and less like Mordor game.
It's about as inobtrusive as it was in the original game. I do not understand why you're so hung up on this.
Because my thing, like,
everything's in the same spot.
If something works in a game, looks fine, functions fine, works.
For you.
There's no reason to change it. I haven't heard anybody complaining that the extra tiny little marker telling you exactly how many arrows you have in a nice little diagram plus the number was an issue. I really liked it. I think that it was really nice to be able to look down, not have to think about numbers and just go, alright, I have a few shots left.
Why don't you go on the internet to the Reddits so you can cry?
No, with I don't. All the other Reddit people that complain about this. Reddit's a scary place.
You get into an internet fight with all the people that think that the new UI changes are amazing, Because not everybody thinks like you.
I know. Like, most people don't think like me.
It's such a small detail.
It is a small detail, but it does bug me because I've played so many sequels to games where the first game, everybody gives it, like, almost 10 out of 10, pretty much. You know, gets perfect scores, and the next game, they change it because they just feel like they need to change it. Not because it needs change, but because they feel they need to change it.
But 9 out of 10 times, those changes are heralded as, like, great changes that needed to happen. And boy, wow, I didn't realize how clunky the old system was.
I'm usually the person who's playing the, one, you know, the last 10th game that didn't need to change or have social networking implemented into it.
Change is good. Live with it.
Change is never good.
Changing your underwear? Great. Changing the food you eat? Fantastic. Changing your oil in your car? Necessity.
You should probably do that soon.
I don't have money.
Anyways, Shadow of War looked interesting. I'm a little concerned that it's going to be a lot less running around and being pretty much a stealth rogue.
Well, explain it to the people that haven't seen the video.
Okay, so in the video, it looked like you were... They present it as you get to siege or besiege different fortresses, and you pretty much just go in, and the goal is to kill whichever Uruk-hai or orc or troll or is in charge of that fortress. And so you have your army of pretty much mind-controlled fighters, and you go in and you attack the fortress. My concern is that it's going to be military fortress management or military force management game versus running around sneaky rogue, assassinating and, you know, mind controlling things. Because then once you take over the fortress, you put your person in charge of it, and they gather resources for you for some... Like, I don't know why you need resources.
No, they... Depending on what general you put in charge...
They do something, yeah. So...
So if you put a marauder in, they'll go and get resources. So I assume it's XP that you use
I'm not exactly sure. It's interesting they're adding in the armor element to it. Like, you actually get to... Instead of just adding runes to your weapons and choosing which runes are on your weapons, it looks like you may just get new armor. Like, you might just find loot, which I'm not a fan of. I actually really liked just, you know, having the same weapons and just getting new techniques for them. They did not show picking up new weapons, so maybe you keep the same weapons and you just get new armor, which is still a little weird, because the armor the guy picked up did not look like the armor the Uruk-hai was wearing.
He picked up a Riders of Rohan armor.
You should pick up the armor the Uruk-hai is wearing, like...
Well, the Uruk-hai didn't want to wear it, but he had it on him.
Had it in his, you know, his side pocket.
In case he wanted to trade it later, but then he got besieged, you know.
Oh, man. I just thought of that D&D meme we saw.
It was also based off Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Oh. Now, it seems interesting. I'm curious to see where it's gonna, like, see how it turns out. If it is mostly a military resource management and force, you know, troop management type game, I probably won't play it. Because that's not what I want. Like, I... want rogue assassin without playing Assassin's Creed, because that game's a little weird.
So, I mean, my take on it is that based off the gameplay they showed...
Yeah, this is all based off the gameplay we've seen.
It is a pretty large departure from what the original game was. You have a map, and the map is pointed out by different siege...
Fortresses.
Fortresses, and stuff like that. And they have, each fortress has its own level. Tells you how difficult it is. You can...
Yeah, like, fortresses can have level. Like, there was one that was 270.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure how your character is supposed to reach level 270,
That's not your character. It's your army.
yeah, level not, of your army. Yeah, it's starting to get as confusing as light levels.
But you're, it seems like the combat and the actual gameplay was pretty much the same. It looked like there was a lot of the same moves.
There was a cool one where they shot an enemy, and the enemy teleported to you, and you got to kill them.
Yeah.
That was cool.
There was also an execution where while your main guy was performing the execution, the ghost elf was performing an execution right next to you, so you got two executions off of one.
And there was another thing that I don't remember seeing where you use the dagger, and you stab somebody, teleported, stab somebody, teleported, stab somebody, and it just, you didn't kill them, you just teleported. It was a little weird, but it looked interesting. Like, I really liked those powers in the game, so be curious to see those.
And you can fly wyverns and
shoot
fireballs from the sky. Cool. And your army's comprised of your like war chiefs and stuff like that, and they died during the battle. It was all very scripted.
Yeah, definitely what they showed us was very scripted.
Which I'm hoping the actual game is not as scripted. I mean, like, the original Shadow of Mordor kind of had a lot of scripted moments in it. Like, the challenges and stuff like that were all pretty scripted.
Like, the ending.
But, no spoilers.
I know. I'm just... That's my opinion of the ending is,
But, I'm interested in it. I mean, I like tactical war games that are, like, kind of light on it. Kind of like Warhammer... 40K has been and stuff like that in the Warhammer RTS games, where it's kind of like, or even further back, like the Dune games on the original Dune games, where you kind of like, you had your map and you picked a spot and you went and you conquered the spot, and like the enemies would conquer different spots, you kind of had to manage.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Stuff like that, which it seems like that's the way they're going with this, while adding in the actual, like, you are actually part of the siege, like, as a single unit, which seems interesting, but it seems weird not to let you, like, approach the siege on foot and just, you're just there.
Yeah, like, it would be, it makes sense from a, they can't literally map entire Middle Earth.
They could.
Okay, they could, they won't literally map entire Middle Earth. Or Mordor, at least. But it makes sense from that aspect. But at the same time, since they could do it, it'd be nice if they did.
I mean, I think what would be the smart play would be that you pick a region.
And the fortress is somewhere in that region.
Not even that. You pick a region, you do a certain number of objectives in the region, and then unlocks the siege, and you attack the siege.
Yeah. As far as the siege went, I mean, it was a pretty straight up, just at the front gates, beating on the front gates, trying to get in. I'm hoping there's missions that maybe are a little bit more espionage, as far as, you know, go in and, you know, have to kill a couple people before the doors open. Like, doing, like, not just brute force who can bash their head against the wall the hardest.
Well,
I want a little bit more, you know, something sneaky and more finesse.
There is sneaky and finesse stuff in there. Like, you could have one of your generals infiltrate.
There was, but that's also
siege and stuff like that, and then, like, set up traps for you so that when you did attack you could exploit those traps to make the siege go better.
But, like, when you need to go, like, in Shadow of Mordor, like, when you need to go kill one of the captains or something, or one of the war chiefs, and they give you the goal of, okay, you kill this guy, but nobody can see you kill him. You know, they give you missions like that that forced you to be sneaky, but at the same time, being sneaky is honestly the most fun and, like, easiest way to play that game. Like, if you just run into camps, you'll never get back out. Like, you just...
I got back out all the time.
It's pretty hard during, like, the missions against the war chiefs to just run headlong in and then bash your way out and succeed at the mission. I mean, the game really lends itself to being sneaky, because they give you tons of abilities to be sneaky. So I'm hoping, like, you get, you know, a chance to be more sneaky again, because that was the funnest part of the game. Then jumping off of anything and not dying.
It seems like that's back.
Yeah.
But also, it'd be interesting. I mean, they showed the Drake. You can have units or like mounted units. There's a lot. There's because there was mounted units and armored mounted units could walk through fire without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like there seems to be like different types of units that have different types of bonuses and stuff like that for the war. And also the Nemesis system, they've expanded on that a lot.
Where like people have enemies
and stuff like that, and also your people could betray you.
That I did like that because it does feel like I know you're mind controlling them, but it does feel weird that they can never choose not like because a lot. Yeah, it's just it's weird that they couldn't not be mind controlled by you like ever. I'm still testing to see how many people you can possess at the same time. So far, I've hit a 28. And they keep dying on me, but I'm trying to see how many I can get.
And obviously, they showed off new classes. They didn't really show them off, but you know they mentioned Necromancers as one of the...
new enemy types.
Yeah, because each of the... generals, I guess, has a class. So, like, one was the Mounted Rider, one was a Siege Breaker. They could break down the gates faster. Yeah. One was a Necromancer that I guess if you select it as a general for a keep, it makes it more harder for them to get taken over because they have more traps and stuff set up.
Yeah. So pretty much you have, you know, you have the Fighter, you have the Wizard, you have...
Everything's always D&D with you.
Hey, it's the easiest point to, you know, go back to. So overall, looks like it should be interesting. I'm curious to see what more they reveal. E3 is coming up, right?
In June.
So we should hopefully see some more then.
Most definitely we'll probably see more then. The game's coming out in August, so.
Yeah, that was... I'm amazed it didn't leak.
It did.
No, I know it leaked, but I'm amazed it took so long for it to leak. Like, these days, a name for a game gets thought of, and somebody on the internet already knows.
That's true.
So, it was interesting.
So what do you want to talk about today?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I've been thinking about it. I don't know. There's not a lot to talk about. One thing. The Witness is now available on Mac. So if you have a Apple computer, go ahead. Go play The Witness. It's amazing. I got to see a little bit of gameplay of Abduction in VR. But it was, which VR was it? It was... Vive?
Yeah, it was the Vive.
It was Vive, and they were, like, it looked pretty good. They were using the teleport system for movement, which I'm not a fan of, but I think in that game it would actually break the immersion to teleport around.
I could see that.
But it looked really good. It looked like it was running smoothly. I've been excited about that. When it comes to PlayStation VR, I want it. Again. I will play it again.
We can talk about that. Someone find all 900 Korok seeds in Zelda Breath of the Wild.
What?
A collectible item. Apparently, if you find all 900, you get a golden poo.
Good job, Internet. You found the golden poo. That's kind of ridiculous. Like, Nintendo doesn't actually give you achievements for things, and then they give you a golden poo in-game. That's
not the first time people have gotten golden poos for collecting things.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Speaking of achievements, Fez. I'm going to play more of that this week. I will find those last three things. Actually, I need to check to see what trophies I need.
Why did you get so into trophy hunting?
I like checklists. I like checklists of checklists. And they're like little mini challenges. So I like going down just looking at, you know, especially if I've played through a game once. Like, I've played through the game. I know the game. And then you read down the trophy list and you go, oh, so this says go, like, especially if the trophy doesn't tell you exactly what you're supposed to do, or just says, like, find this item. I love going back and scouring the game and poking into all the nooks and crannies just to see where that thing is, or figure out what it is. So I don't like trophies when they blatantly tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. I like them when they leave it a little bit vague and it's more, you know, go have fun with the game type stuff.
Right.
Like,
so I mean, what type of trophies aren't you like getting? Because you haven't platinum everything.
PvP. I hate things that require PvP. Because I don't play it. I don't like it. I've tried it multiple times. Don't actually like playing with other people, like, against other people. I'll play with other people, but not against other people. It's just, it's not as fun. Like, what trophies do I not, other than PvP, what trophies do I not go for?
Yeah.
Because
I'm not
trophies are in, like,
I'm not a person that has to platinum. Point, a game.
I don't think I have to platinum. I like platinuming them because it's a good, it feels like, especially for games that are very open, it's a good way to know I'm done. I am officially done. There's nothing more for me to discover in this game.
Well, I mean, there's always speedrunning, glitches, and
speedrunning is what you do when you lose a game save and you have to get back to a spot so you can continue streaming the game, like I need to do for King's Quest because I don't have my game save anymore. It's okay. I think I missed something in that game. No, I don't know. I don't like speedrunning for the most part. I'm not good at platforming, so speedrunning is a little bit... Speedrunning is not as interesting if all you're doing is running around solving puzzles. Like, I'm pretty sure at this point I could speedrun The Witness or Abduction.
There is a speedrun for The Witness.
I know. I don't want to challenge it, though, because that game actually lent... Like, that game's far more enjoyable if you take your time. But, I don't know. I like checking off the little boxes and making sure I have everything. Good point. I haven't looked at Fez's trophy list.
You don't need to do that right now. Well, let's look at the Uncorked Gamers question of the week now. I believe we might have got a response from the last ones.
I'm sorry, I don't remember what it was.
I love our guest hosts. Always come prepared. They come with topics and question answers. Where are you at, Jeff? Where are you at?
Oh, dear.
So, one thing was, we did get a response from Curtis's question. If you could change one thing from Nintendo Switch, what would it be? Mr. Sterling writes in to say, consolidate the entire Nintendo games library onto the Switch. Everything up to Nintendo 64 could easily fit into a single chip. At the very least, it should have been backwards compatible with the Wii U. I feel like it's a major loss of games. The Switch just has Zelda. While I think the Switch itself is a good idea and a big opportunity, I want it to be the coolest console yet. I feel like the business end is weird. And he makes a lot of good points. I mean, it's not a trend we haven't seen in the video game market so far. I mean, PlayStation 4 did not have any backwards compatibility. And I understand the Switch not having backwards compatibility because it doesn't have a disc drive.
Mm.
Now, one solution possibly to... No. It's possibly what they could have done, so you could have put a disc drive into the docking base that you could play your Wii U games on.
Or just have a separate... Like, you used to be able to buy portable DVD players or portable CD-ROM players for laptops. Just make something like that that just plugs in, it just reads the disc, and everybody can feel nostalgic.
That's interesting. Yeah. They should do something like that.
It's
a little bit trickier because you have to have the... you have to basically be able to run the... Either be able to emulate the hardware, or have the hardware in there to be able to run it how it's supposed to be
run. I'm sure at this point we could either make the hardware small enough or emulate it. Like, it's got to be able to be done.
I mean,
maybe a combination between both. I mean, it's got to be plausible.
I mean, the PlayStation 3, being able to shrink that down to a reasonable size.
That's true. The PlayStation 3 does run PS1 games.
Yeah, it does, because it has the PlayStation 1 and 2 hardware built into the system.
But it runs 2?
If you had the original release, no.
Okay.
It would run this PlayStation 2 game.
Okay, I did not know that.
But taking the PlayStation 3 with its cell architecture, which it's still being worked on as far as hackers are concerned, they made some strides, some big strides. But it has not been hacked.
Okay, so as of right now, where are the consoles that have not been hacked?
The PlayStation 3. And obviously the PS4 and the Xbox One. The 360 and the PlayStation 3 are around the same boat. It's more of a issue of computers not being powerful enough to run it.
Yeah, well...
Because because the computer is running its own software and then having to emulate a completely different software on top of it.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure which ones had been.
But yeah, the Wii U's been hacked. So, yeah, you can emulate that. I mean, actually, one of the hardest and longest running consoles to not be hacked was the Sega Saturn.
Okay.
Because of the way their infrastructure and architecture was for that. It was very hard to get that to work for computers. So hacking is a lot more complicated than just like, oh, let's make it play these games.
Yeah. It's gone a long ways from, hey, let's just take out the disc mid-game.
Or, you know, just popping into a CD burner and just burning the disc.
Oh, no wonder Blockbuster stopped game rentals.
So the other question was, what non-game franchise would you like to see turned into a game? And this included books, movies, everything like that.
Oh, man.
Let's see if we got any response to that on the
Twitter.
It's hard
to think of something that... Like, my first thought was books. Like, one of the books I've read. But, to be honest, a lot of the books I've read have been made into a video game of some form. Most of them may be free-to-play mobile games. But there's a lot of Agatha Christie games out there. A lot of Sherlock Holmes games. I don't know. There's a lot of games.
Yeah, there are a lot of games. There's also a lot of books. Well, there's entire franchises. Discworld has been turned into a game, so that's out.
Yeah, see, Star Wars, games.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, games. Narnia, games. I don't know. Like, there's a few board games I think would be better as video games.
I mean, that's it.
I mean, Cthulhu game we played. Arkham Asylum.
I mean, there have been Cthulhu games.
Yeah, that's true. There has been Cthulhu games, I guess. But no, it's just like that board game, I feel, would function better as a video game. Like, sure, play with other people at the same time, but it would function better as a video game. I don't know. It's a hard question, because there's so many. Like, come on, Origami has even been made into a game.
I mean, really, it's pretty easy. You're just thinking of it all wrong. Because you read 40 comic books a week. Most of those franchises have not been turned into games. I mean, for instance, Constantine.
Do you really want a Howard the Duck game?
A Constantine video game could be epic.
I don't... Maybe if they do it, like... Noir style, like
mostly dialogue options, like a dialogue heavy game, like Telltale.
For a moment, I thought you were gonna say choose your own death option, because that's what Constantine is, just jumping from one death scenario to the next.
Like, if you take Telltale system of like dialogue based gameplay, and you do a Constantine story with that,
they've already done Batman.
Really, yeah, they've already done Batman, but I mean Constantine. In Constantine,
I can see that working.
It's a lot darker. And you can even throw some like bits of gameplay in there where you're like casting a spell and under duress or something like that. I mean, a little bit heavy rain, and or like a Until Dawn or something like that.
I mean, oh, it'd be interesting.
It's very similar and stuff like that, but it's also a much darker storyline. You like the demons and like hell and souls and like, because Constantine, most of his friends die because of him. Yeah. In one way or another.
Yeah, that's true.
And you get the team behind the story of Spec Ops The Line to write it. It's magic. It's magic in the making.
Liberally. It's Constantine. There's magic. Yeah, I don't know. There's plenty of game ideas I've thought of, but I don't know if they've been made.
I'm gonna throw out some comics at you that I know you read, but like I have not read.
Okay, Media Molecule could do like a weird Doctor Strange-esque game. Especially using their dreams mode. Like, the most recent Doctor Strange story arc, he's literally, like, every issue, he's, like, in a different place, dealing with different stuff, and, like, he gets pulled through, open another portal or something, and ends up somewhere else. Like, it's, there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with Disney.
That's true, nobody wants to deal with Disney.
But, Lady Mechanica, monstrous.
I wouldn't want to play a game of those. I would watch a movie, I wouldn't want to play a game.
Lady Mechanica's, like... Right, you take a... Like
Lady Mechanica is very, very close in theme and monsters to The Order 1866.
That's actually what I was thinking. You make a game similar to The Order 1886 with Lady Mechanica. Steampunk, super, even more steampunky than...
No, but, like, Monstrous is too dark. I would not want to play it.
But I'm sure it would make a great game.
It might, yeah.
It's not a game you would want to play. It's a game you think would make a great game. Or a franchise you think would make a great game. Shakespeare.
I would say Mouse Guard. Shakespeare games. I would say Mouse Guard, but Ghost of a Tale is already out, so.
Yeah, but. It's a nice game.
Yeah.
It's not technically a Mouse Guard game,
but. No, but it's. It's, yeah, it's pretty Mouse Guard-y. I don't know.
Just pick one.
I got so much junk, I don't know. Looking around going, I don't know.
Beasts of Eld. Or whatever that book was called.
Forgotten Beasts of Eld? Oh, good book. I don't know.
It's like Pokemon. You gotta go out and tame all these different beasts.
No.
Something with eld runes. I don't know. I haven't read it.
You really should. It's a good book. I don't know. Like, as far as books go, a lot of the books I read, I don't think would be good games. They're not designed to be, like, they're not...
I just don't think you're thinking in... I think you're just trying to fit it into... your game genres without expanding your view of possible game genres.
Well, in order to make a game out of the Forgotten Boots of Eld, for example, you'd have to have a game that involves magic, mundane household tasks, libraries, animal keeping, civil wars, kidnap, what else? Assassination.
Sounds,
driving people insane.
Sounds like a turn-based strategy game to me.
No, but then you lose the magic. Like, you lose... Because the magic in that story comes from the characters and their interactions. It wouldn't work as a turn-based strategy.
Well, I should introduce you to Dune for the Sega CD. Where you played as,
Does it have anything to do with the movies and the books?
Of course it does. It's Dune.
I've never read or watched any of it. I don't know.
Oh, you play the role as Paul Leto Atreides, and you go around exploring the mansion, talking to the people that work there, learning how much spice you have to give the Emperor, also while going to your overmap, ordering your troops to mine for spice to give to the Emperor, sending spies out to infiltrate the House Harkonnen, going out in your ornithopter to find sieges of Freeman.
But here's the thing. The main character of the book is not actually the protagonist of any of the events in the book. She's just there while things are happening.
Here's the other thing. the game doesn't have to be the book. It could just take place in the world of the book. Like so many other franchises do.
And then there'd be no point in actually making
it. If you're going to be Seville, that's your choice. Moving that's, on.
No, it's not. It's just a really good book.
Question of the week is...
Oh, what's your favorite video game animal? You probably shouldn't include sentient alien races, because that's a little insensitive to classify them as animals, but... I mean... What?
I'm trying to think what the racist term for that would be.
Alienist?
Alienist?
No, it's still technically racist. Because it's a different race.
But it's a different species?
No, it's still technically a different race.
I don't know.
Because it's a human race.
I want more feedback on this.
Yeah. Anyways, we have a scientific dictionary somewhere. That should have it, right?
No. Because we don't have aliens. We won't know what it is until we come across aliens.
Anyways. No, but like, you understand, like, it's not... It'd be rather rude to call a Klingon an animal. Actually, a Klingon might be fine with it.
See?
But now still.
You're tearing apart your own logic. Thanks for listening, everybody, to episode 130 of Uncore Gamers. Remember, you can catch us on Twitter, Twitch, at Uncore Gamers.
Twitch at Uncore Gamers, not Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, Twitter.
Oh, Twitter? At That's Uncore true. Gamers. Yeah.
Twitch would be... Whoa!
What is your phone doing?
I have no idea. Twitch would be twitch.tv/UncoreGamers.
Right. On usually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Yeah. Usually. Thursday, Friday is pretty much for sure. More or less. I'll be on Thursday.
See you later, everybody.